Good singing. You may be seated.
Somewhere far away, there are lost souls who've never heard Christ's name, and someone needs to go across the sea and tell them Jesus died to make them free. But there are also lost souls on your street who will tell the people that you meet that Jesus is the only way to heaven. How will they hear that they can be forgiven? This is your mission field. The harvest now is white. There is no time to linger, for quickly comes the night. The Master's call is clear. His will has been revealed. Oh, will you lift your eyes? This is your mission field.
America, the land we love so well, is filled with precious souls still bound for hell. And who will reach this land of liberty and speak the only truth that makes men free?
This is your mission field. The harvest now is white. There is no time to linger, for quickly comes the night. The Master's call is clear. His will has been revealed. Oh, will you lift your eyes? This is your mission field.
Not at some future time,
nor in some distant place,
but here and now we need to share the message of God's grace. This is your mission field. The harvest now is wide. There is no time to linger, for quickly comes the night. The Master's call is clear. His will has been revealed. Oh, will you lift your eyes? This is your mission field. Oh, will you lift your eyes? This is your mission field. America.
Amen. Thank you for that song. Appreciate it. Good song for the hour. I want to encourage you with that. We just finished up our missions month, and that kind of leads us right into our teen revival, and that's our missions field here at home, and what a great truth for that as well. I forgot to mention it this morning. I failed on that, but we have our commitment cards in the seats in front of you from our missions month that we just concluded this past Wednesday night. Been encouraging you to pray about taking a card and making a commitment for your missions giving. It'd be from this Sunday until next year. And I ask you to take that and to pray about that. You don't put your name on the card, the amount that you gave last year, either weekly or monthly, and then do that again for this coming year. As I challenged you before, I believe that God would have all of us to do more in getting the gospel out to this world. Wouldn't you agree with that? We should all be doing more. I don't think we'll ever get to eternity and think, man, I gave too much to missions. I told too many people about Christ. I spent too much time in church. We'll never say that. So I want to challenge you about doing more, whatever God puts on your heart, that's between you and the Lord. But when you do that, make a commitment to God. not a casual commitment, but a solid promise to the Lord of what you would give to support our missionaries that we send around the world. Had a blessed time with our missionaries this past month. We have one coming in a couple weeks. Looking forward to that, Brother Eddie Ray, our missionary as well, and looking forward to having him come here in, is it next Wednesday? Not this Wednesday, but the next Wednesday night. No, how is it November, and we're going to be halfway through it in a little bit. I don't know how that's happening so quickly. Thank you, church, for being here tonight. We have Brother John Barnes, and he's a preacher out in the New England area. You'll see that, hear that very quickly through his speech from the Boston, New York accent. It's not quite our California accent, as some would make fun of us for our accents as well, but very familiar to the Bronx and the Schwerins and a couple others as well that know them very well. Preaches out there quite often, and so Brother Barnes is newer here, got to meet him the last few days. If you maybe give a little bit of your testimony and kind of what the Lord has you doing, that'd be great. But looking forward to having him preach tonight. Get your Bibles ready. Be ready for the preaching time tonight. Brother Barnes, if you would come, please.
Thank Amen. You, preacher. Thank you so much. Oh, it's a joy to be here. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Pastor, for the privilege to be at this great church. And when Brother Brock reached out to me, it's probably been 6 or 8 months ago or so, I was excited about the opportunity. I don't know what he means by a different voice. I'm not sure what that is. No, I do not have a cold. My voice is always like this. Since I was 3 years old, it's never changed since. But it is. I'm fired up. I'm excited to be here. I've been praying for the teen revival. How many of you believe that young people can still live for Jesus? How many of you believe that? You better lift a holy hand. Amen. We're going to be here till midnight, all right? But I believe it with all my heart. Matter of fact, I'm not the guy that goes to youth meetings and says that he feels sorry for teenagers. I'm not that guy. Matter of fact, I get mad at those guys. And I mean it. Let me tell you something. I don't feel sorry for young people. I think they live in the greatest days in the history of mankind. If there's more souls on this planet that need to be saved, we're living in history. This is an exciting time to serve the Lord. Now, I don't need to convince myself of that. I'm passionate of heart because I believe Jesus, you know, the great commission he gave, he knew how many people would be in the world in 2025. He knew that. And guess what? He still wants us to get the gospel to every creature. You believe that, don't you? And so listen, I know you have been. I've just loved the past couple days being here, seeing the all-in-ness, if that's such a word, of this church. Stay all in these next couple days. Let me just tell you this. It's not too late to reach out to somebody that's got a teenager and say to them, say, listen, if you want to tell them, you got to come hear this crazy man. You say, I don't think you're crazy, but you haven't heard me preach yet. And so you want to say, man, you got to listen, invite somebody. Think of somebody you know that has teenagers. And do everything you can to get them here the next couple of nights. And we're praying for God to do big things. I'm thankful because when I grew up in New York, that I had a church like this that loved me and poured into me and invested in me. Everybody's home situation is different. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I'm not mad at anybody. It's just the way it was. My parents got saved later. My dad got saved when I was a kid, and my mom got saved when I was in Bible college and started serving the Lord faithfully. She went to heaven in 2012. My dad went to heaven a couple of years ago, and they're with the Lord. But I didn't grow up in a Christian home. But you know what I had? I had a Sunday school teacher. I had a pastor. I had an assistant pastor. I had teachers. I had a lot of people that poured into me. You ever see kids that get in trouble in the church? You ever see them? I was one of those, and I'm not proud of that, but that's just the way it was, amen? But thank God for a church that loved me. And so I'm excited about the teen revival. I love this theme. We're going to talk about it in the message. Now, listen, I don't want anybody to get nervous. Nobody needs to get nervous. Preachers say we usually finish about 8:30, so I don't want anybody getting nervous. You better laugh. I'm telling you, you'll be here at midnight. I'll put you in the Barnes torture chamber. It's going to get ugly. All right, but no, he told me what time usually finishes ish. How many? I like that ish right there. I just love that. And but I got to do this real quick. I got something here for Brother Drew Brock. He's a dear friend of mine. And I went to the mall in New Hampshire, and nobody cares about Tennessee. By the way, nobody cares about Tennessee anywhere. And matter of fact, people in Tennessee don't care about Tennessee, but. So I couldn't find, and he's in mourning because yesterday was a rough day for him, but we're praying for Brother Brock. But at least it's an orange hat, you know. I mean, I put it through the washing machine and dryer and put some bleach, and I made it orange, amen. But I got Brother Drew put on here. I mean, look, this is fancy dancy. This is the way we do things in New York. You know, that's a 14-karat gold. Now I'm lying, you know, but I'm from New York. I'll sell you a car after church real cheap too, all right? But anyway, but this is for you, Brother Drew, because I love you, my friend. You got to go walk all the way back up here, old man. Come on up here, buddy. Here, I'll throw it to you. Let's give that to you. Good job, sir. All right. There is a bill coming in the mail, and just take care of it. I'm sure you'll pay for it. Don't tell them Jesus paid it all, okay? It's not going to work for that one. Then I had to stoop to low levels for this. You know, did I tell you it was from New York? I am. It's true. It's in my blood. It's in my genes. And I found this in a junkyard, this ball cap, and in New York. No, it wasn't a junkyard. I'm sorry. It was a yard sale. No, I'm just kidding. And I can't believe I did this. Do you know how hard this is for me to do? My wife is probably crying at home right now. And my sons are probably, they're fasting and mourning right now. This is very, very challenging. But got this for the pastor, got the word pastor. Look, this is high tech right here. You see that? Can you see that right there? I'll let you look at it after church for a dollar, all right? But this is for the, now are you a 49ers fan?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I know he is. You know what they did? They had me at their home. They made me drink out of a cup that was a San Francisco 49ers cup. You say, what do you mean they made you? They handed me the cup and they wanted to make sure I touched it. Taking pictures everywhere. They had photo bombing going on. It was awful. It was just terrible. But that part's not really true. But anyway, made me watch a game. Made me watch a game. And I think he knew. I know he's not a prophet. Well, he's a man of God. But anyway, but I think he knew who was really going to win that game. How many of you know what I'm talking about already? Yeah, you know. See, you should have been reading your Bible all afternoon. You should have been worried about watching all that nonsense on television. But anyway, but the 49ers did beat my Giants today. It just so happens. I mean, but look, who cares about that stuff? We're in the middle of a team revival. Amen. It's amazing when your team loses. You know, it's like that's not important anymore. You know, it's all for Jesus. Let's get back in the battle here. You know, but anyway, Pastor, this is for you. God bless you, sir.
Thank you, Pastor, sir.
Thank you. God bless you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Good. We got all that blah, blah, blah out of the way. And good stuff. Did he put it on? I really don't feel good tonight. I need some nitroglycerin pill or something. But get your Bibles, please. 2 Samuel chapter 18. 2 Samuel chapter 18. And we are, I told the teenagers this morning, Lord willing, of course, I absolutely love this theme. The theme is the Return of the King, and we all know we're all speaking about our King. There is one King, by the way. It's King Jesus. And a lost world that was so blatant to say no King is, and I'm not picking at them, I'm saying it's a lost world that is so ignorant to understand that there is a King. There always has been. He wasn't voted in recently. He was King before the foundation of the world. And his name is Jesus. And that's our King. And so I love this theme, and what we're going to do, Lord willing, the next couple of nights is we're going to look at stories in the Bible about kings, and there is a beautiful picture in 2 Samuel chapter 18 of the Lord Jesus Christ, King Jesus, in the life of King David. Now, we understand King David wasn't King Jesus. He was a king, second king of Israel, if you know the story. But there's a beautiful picture here of our King. And really, you do understand this. All of the Bible points us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the whole Bible does. Every book in the Bible, everything points us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe you're familiar with this story, and maybe you're not. It's interesting to me. I'm bewildered about a thought here, and I'm not confused about the Bible, but I'm bewildered. I'm puzzled about something, but there certainly is a great truth that I hope will be a help to you. And I want to talk to you tonight about the message of the King, the message of the King. And you'll see it better in the story here. Could you stand with me just for a moment physically if you're able to as we read the Word of God? And just so that I don't have you standing very long, it's really the passage goes back to about verse 19. Can I just give you a very super quick backdrop so I don't keep you standing too long here? King David leaves his throne, and Absalom is deceiving and stealing the hearts of the people of God, the children of Israel, and unfortunately his son Absalom is slain, if you know the story. There's two men that are messengers. Their names are Ahimaaz and Cushai. How many of you are familiar with these names already? How many of you are familiar with them? I don't have my glasses on. I can't see you. You're still here? All right. I'm at that place in my age where I wear these. I drive a school bus. I wear these for driving. And my wife is trying to convince my doctor I need to get those things called bifocals. How many of y'all know what those are right there? I'm gonna help you redefine what that word is. They're called old people glasses, all right? And so I'm just not quite ready for those yet. You say, oh, you're old, that's none of your business. But yes, I'm there, and I need to get them. And she said, you should get them. It just sounds old. But then they made the mistake of saying, they're not bifocals, they're progressive. How many of you have heard of that right there? Now, I just don't like that word, so that's not gonna help any at all. Okay, I don't even eat progressive spaghetti meat sauce, okay? You didn't think that was funny. But anyway, but we're just not doing that, okay? So I'm being stubborn. I'll take them off, put them on to see you, okay? And then I'll take them off to read, and that's just the way it is right now, and hopefully soon I'll get over my stubbornness. But Ahimeaz and Cushai are two servants, two of many that were servants for the king. And the Bible says, and let me just go ahead and do this. Let me go to the middle of the story and then we're going to come back. I'll tell you the story. I don't want you to miss it. They're both running to the king to give a report. In verse 27, I'm picking up midstream, but the watchman said, "Methinketh the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimeaz, the son of Zadok." And the king said, "He is a good man and cometh with good tidings." And Ahimeaz called and said unto the king, "All is well." And he fell down to the earth upon his face before the king and said, "Blessed be the Lord thy God, which hath delivered up the men that lifted up their hand against my lord the king." And this is all that King David wanted to know. Verse 29. And the king said, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" And Ahimeaz answered, "When Joab sent the king's servant and me thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was." And the king said unto him, "Turn aside and stand here." And he turned aside and stood still. And behold, Cushai came. And Cushai said, "Tidings, my lord the king, for the Lord hath avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee." And the king said unto Cushai, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" And Cushai answered, "The enemies of my lord the king and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt be as that young man is." He died also, he was telling him. And the king was much moved, and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, "O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son." Maybe most of you are familiar with this story and tragic end, but really for a man who was just in a really bad place, lied, stole the hearts of the people from King David. But David gets a report. One of the servants came and didn't know what happened. And it's really puzzling to me because you read the context of the story. Go back and study it when you get a chance. They all knew what was going on. But, you know, there's several, you know, if you ever want to get more confused, if you want to get more confused, read about 10 different commentaries, you'll get 10 different opinions, you know, about what, you know, maybe a detail that we don't really know the exacts on. And let's be helpfully reminded here where God's not shouting, let's not shout, you know. Let's not shout where God whispers. You know, maybe I could say it better that way. But it's puzzling because Ahimeaz came and he didn't have a report. He didn't know what happened. And the tragedy is Ahimeaz never really knew the heart of King David. He never knew really what was King David was concerned about. And I think there's a beautiful application, a helpful application to the church, to leaders of young people, to parents, to us servants. Ahimeazes and Cushai sit all over this room. And may the Lord help us, give us a truth tonight that'll help us as we get into the teen revival. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you, Lord. I've been blessed by being here. I love the desire for the gospel. I love the missions emphasis. I love the outreach, all the countless hours of work poured into the teen revival. I've been encouraged, Lord, to see your church here, Lord. This is your church, Lord. And what a beautiful heritage. I just love to hear the stories, Pastor Johnson and now the pastor here doing a great job, the staff, everybody rolling the sleeves up, everybody digging in, everybody giving their best. And so, Lord, I pray that you just give us something that'll help us, Lord. Give us a truth that'll help us, Lord, to be the right kind of servant, Lord, to get the message, Lord, while we're here. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Excuse me. Let me grab my water. Thanks, preacher. So, again, maybe most of you, it's familiar to you. It's two servants. If you go back, why don't you go back a few verses, if you would. Jump back as far, maybe to, of course, Absalom's killed. Look at verse 19. Go back to verse 19. Then said Ahimeaz, the son of Zadok, let me now run and bear the king tidings, how that the Lord hath avenged him of his enemies. Now watch this. And Joab said unto him, thou shalt not bear tidings this day, but thou shalt bear tidings another day. But this day thou shalt, now watch the words here. But this day thou shalt bear no tidings, because the king's son is dead. How many are with me so far? Okay, so Joab says, this is not a day for you to bear tidings. He tells him what happened to King David's son. And verse 21, then said Joab to Cushai, go tell the king what thou hast seen. And Cushai bowed himself unto Joab and ran. Then said Ahimeaz, the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab, but whom, howsoever, let me, I pray thee, also run after Cushai. And Joab said, wherefore wilt thou run, my son, seeing that thou hast no tidings ready? Perhaps the idea there is he didn't have a full report. And maybe some, and again, there's different conjectures about it. And that's not really the message, but, you know, why did Ahimeaz come and say, I don't know, sir. You know, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I didn't use those words, you know, but sorry, you know, I don't know all the details. But he said he had no tidings ready. But howsoever, said he, let me run, verse 23. And he said unto him, run. Then Ahimeaz ran by the way of the plain and overran Cushai. And then, of course, we don't need to sit necessarily the next couple of verses. So they're running to King David to give him a report. And Ahimeaz outruns Cushai, as we just read, and he gets to King David first, but he never got the message. Oh, he got to King David, but he didn't have the message. And then Cushai gets there and gives King David the report. And this is not so much the message, but it's really a part of it, kind of leads us to the message where, you know, can I just encourage us to be careful that we don't get so, and we all are challenged with this at times, that we don't get so much consumed with just running the race that we forget the message. Are y'all with me on that? And I'm not preaching on that so much, but that's the truth there. I mean, listen, let's be careful that we're not just, it's very important that we're not just, we don't become mechanical and methodical solely about the Christian race. But that we're reminded that there is a message. It's not just about, and look up here. It's certainly not being about first. Okay, that's a whole nother message. We can ride that train for a little while. You know, Ahimeaz got there about to have a fat attack. I don't know what he was doing, you know. King David, I'm here. I beat that rascal. Now, I don't think he said that, okay? I'm not, you know, I watched too much Tom and Jerry when I was a kid, so pray for me, all right? But only a few of you got that, only the spiritual ones in the church. Amen. But I don't think Ahimeaz went, maybe, I don't know. I'm not reading into the scriptures to say I think he just wanted to be the first one there. But that is a challenge that we face in the Christian life. The Apostle Paul said it to the church at Corinth when he said to them, they that compare themselves among themselves are not what? Are not wise. So we're all, and listen, let's just go all the way from leadership all the way through. Everybody's important. Pastors deal with this. People in the church deal with this, where sometimes we get so consumed with, and by the way, I'm in this thing, okay? The ministry, I'm all in, okay? So this is not a, now just be careful, now just take it easy. Just kind of slow the pace down a little bit. I think a term we used to hear often is you don't want to burn out in the ministry. And I think those things could happen. They only would happen if you do, as like Tom Malone always used to say, you'll never burn out if you do the work of God and the energy of the Holy Spirit. And I agree with that. I believe that. But it's important for us to get the message. Not just be the first one there, or not even just finished across the finish line, but to get the message and carry the message while we're running the race. So what was the message that they really should have, and this is, I'm going to stay in the text, but we can go all over and stay for a long time, and it'd be a wonderful study of the message. But so clearly, what is the message and how is this a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ? First of all, there's no doubt about it. I don't think anybody would question any of this at all. There's no doubt about it, but the king loved Absalom. The Bible says so. There's no doubt about it. King David loved his son. And can we just camp out here for a few minutes, church, tonight and revel in the goodness of God? Look, I don't know who you are. You don't know me. I don't know where you're from. You don't know where I'm from. I'm going to tell you this much. Let me tell you something. King Jesus loves everyone. Oh, mercy. I don't know who you are. You say, you don't even know me. How do you know God loves me? How do you know King Jesus loves me? Because the Bible says so. That's all I need to know. Now, I know he loves me because I've experienced it in my life. But the reason why I can say it with passion of heart tonight is because the Bible says so. There's not a greater song I love to sing than Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. It's one of them, that and Amazing Grace, probably two of the most popular songs in the history of mankind, maybe, who knows. Maybe the Psalms, probably. They were around a little bit longer. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And listen, can you just be reminded tonight, the message of King Jesus is that he loves everyone. And he loves the ones that reject him and that lie about him and try to take him off of his throne. Listen, church, don't stop praying for that hard case. Don't you take that name off your prayer list. And by the way, you might have told him 100 times, tell him 101 times. Let everybody you can know that Jesus loves them. Because Jesus does love them. Hey, listen, if I didn't come here anything else to tell you anything else tonight, I told you enough. There's more message, so don't get happy on me, okay? But if I just could have come tonight to tell you that Jesus, King Jesus, loves you, that's enough to fire every one of us up. King Jesus loves you. King David loved Absalom. He loved his son. The servants, I don't see that the servants, especially Ahimeas, understood the concept of that. I think Joab saw that, and Joab, it's a really interesting study in the Bible about Joab and David's relationship. Joab sometimes had to, I mean, right after this, he had to sit down with David, King David, and say, You better love on the people because they're going to run. They're going to turn from you. There's a lot here. There's a lot to unpack here. But staying in the text and making application to King Jesus, number one, King David loved Absalom and King Jesus loves his people. Number two, I want to say to you that, and I mentioned it earlier, King David literally, he left his post. Now think about that for a minute. If you know the story, King David left his post. He left his throne. Now, whether you agree with that or not, that's what he did. But it's a beautiful Old Testament picture of King Jesus. Because King Jesus left his throne in heaven to come to this earth to pay for our sins. Isn't that a beautiful picture? King David left his throne. Why? Because of a son that rebelled. The only reason why Jesus came is because he loves you and he wants you back. And he was willing to pay for your sins and my sins on the cross of Calvary. Hey, thank God King Jesus left his throne. By the way, he never laid aside his deity. Never laid it aside. When King Jesus came to this earth, he was 100% Jesus, 100% God, and 100% man. But he left his throne to come to this earth. As you know, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, went to the cross of Calvary. Why? Because he loves you. He left his throne. I don't know if I'm sure the servants understood what he did. But what love? I mean, some would say he should have done that. I don't think any of us would say, Jesus, you shouldn't. I'm glad you did, right? You know. Why would you do that? Why would God leave his throne to come to die for our sins? Because God loves you. No, you don't understand, bro. That's the way we talk in New York. Pray for me, you know. I was relieved, finally. I was driving a little bit ago, and I saw graffiti somewhere, and I felt so much at home. I was a little nervous. Everything's too nice around here. I'm a little a little nervous. But anyway, but you're like, bro, man, come on, you're crazy, and you don't even know me. You have no idea. You have no idea. Listen, you cannot allow your circumstances to determine who God is. You got to trust him. You say, man, my life has been a train wreck. My life has been a mess. My life has been problems. Yeah, every one of our lives have been. But look up here. When you come to Jesus, Jesus is the game changer. Jesus is the life changer. It's all about King Jesus. He loves us. He left his throne. Now, I don't know if they call this an antitype, so you Bible scholars can help me with this part. I'm guilty sometimes of straining for alliteration, so pray for me. But you know, Jesus did do this. But you know what? Look what David said at verse 33. Look what he said. I'm going to read the whole verse again. And the king was much moved, and he went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son." Now, King David didn't do this, but King Jesus did. He loves us. He left his throne, and he laid down his life. King David would have done it. He said it right there. I would have laid down my life for you. Listen, then we're going to make application here. I don't want to call this the introduction because I don't want you to get nervous. But this is the message of 2 Samuel chapter 18. The message is there's a king that loved his son. He left his throne because his son was rebelling against him. He would have laid down his life. But I'm happy to remind us, church, I know I'm speaking to the church mostly tonight, that King Jesus laid down his life. He laid down his person. He gave himself. Look, nobody took his life. Jesus gave himself. And that's the message of 2 Samuel chapter 18 about King David. Now, one of the things we have to remember is that we are his servants. If you're saved tonight, we are Ahimeazes or Cushites. We are people that have a responsibility to take that message from the king, not to the king, from the king to a lost world, to those in our families, to those in our Sunday school classes, to those on our bus routes, to those in our sphere of influence, if I can word it that way. We have a responsibility, and let me say this, a privilege, to take that message to those that God puts across our path. Listen, church, make sure you got the message. And make sure you're looking for ways and avenues and opportunities to get the message to those in your sphere of influence. Know the heart of the king. If we're going to be a faithful Cushai, we got to stay in the book. Because we have to, it's not just for this reason. You know, I wish I could explain this to you better, but at 16 years old, I go to my Sunday school class. 16, there was maybe 8 to 10 kids in our class. I'm not sure. You know, I love what my preacher in college used to say. There's no small churches. You know, there's no small churches in God's economy. But small little church in Long Island, New York, is where I grew up. How many of you know where the? How many of you heard of the Hamptons? How many of you heard of the Hamptons? Yeah, I didn't grow up there. I grew up where the Poe folk live. But somehow, I had a Sunday school teacher. I believe I know why. I'm going to tell you why in a second. At 16 years old, when the time came, and now listen, I'm just going to tell you, I'm telling you my story. The time came for the memory verse. Who knows the memory verse? Now look, I know me, and I know I'm just a lump of clay, a sinner saved by grace. But I look forward, Brother Brock, to going to Sunday school to say the memory verse. Now listen, I don't need a disclaimer here. Some of you have to memorize the whole Bible in Christian school and in homeschool, so don't get nervous, teenagers. Some of you are building a wall. Don't do that. Don't hurt yourself. Don't spend your energy on that, okay? But one verse in Sunday school. Let me help you with something. I wasn't winning a popularity contest by the other teenagers by saying the memory verse in Sunday school. Oh, I love John. Well, I don't know if anybody said that or not. Probably not, you know. That's my name, by the way, in case you're wondering. But, you know, I didn't let anybody call me Brother Barnes when I was a teenager. We just had to wait a few levels for that, you know. But I wasn't trying to impress nobody. I'm just telling you. You know why? You know why I think that is? Because I had a Sunday school teacher that got the message during the week, and they couldn't wait to come to Sunday school to deliver the goods. Are you listening to me, church? You eat, sleep, drink, breathe that book all week long. You minister it to your children at home. You give it to them in that Sunday school class. You share a scripture with somebody. Isn't it funny when a scripture accidentally comes out of your lips? It's like, whoops. Sorry. The Word of God. We're not trying to impress. Are y'all with me? We're not trying to impress each other. But the truth of the matter is that you will speak about that which you spend your time in pouring yourself into. Now, I'm at a tough place in my life because I got 9 grandkids. And my grandkids like to play video games. So I got to put the grandpa hat on. How many of you are with me now? Come on now, help me now. If my grandson called me right now, if he's watching, I'd have to tap out. Brother Brock, have to finish the message so I can find me an Xbox somewhere. I got to play with my grandson. Everything changes, brother, and the grandkids change everything. Amen. No, not really. But I love it, though. It's interesting. My oldest son, John, and Laura, they have 3. Second oldest have 3. Third oldest have 3. The fourth one doesn't have any kids yet. Pray for them. They need to have at least 3. It's in the Bible. I'll find it somewhere. But I love it. Laura was telling me a couple months ago. She said, Dad, Stephen came in. That's my oldest grandson. He came in. He's 7 years old. He just got exasperated. He was like, they're trying to get him to read about 15, 20 verses each day. And he just got exasperated. He's crying. Mom, I don't even understand the words. It's great, though. But listen, you're doing a great job, son. Just keep reading the Bible. But can I just encourage us to remember that it's not just about, and I don't want to just say rules and regulations. I'm not going there. But what we're trying to pass on to these young people is a message. It's a message of a king. And it deserves our best and our all to get to the place when we're not pouring into them just a bunch of stuff or whatever. I'm not trying to feel like I have to be polished in words here, but that we are delivering them the message. Did you get the message? Are you Ahimeaz or Cushai? There's not one person in this room that is more competitive than I am. Nobody. I'll take my jacket off, right? Go step outside. And I'm competitive. I got issues. My wife doesn't like to play board games with me. And how many of you know what cribbage is? How many of you know what cribbage is? Oh, this is a good church. Revival is going to happen this week. I can feel it. Amen. The rest of you, we're praying for your salvation. Anyway, but we play cribbage. Now, she's a math teacher. So I only win because I get luck. Well, we don't believe in luck. You know, the Lord's on my side. Amen. But anyway, I'm competitive. I got issues. It's bad. It's real bad. But the reality is we're talking about spiritual matters here. And I'm not in competition with anybody else, anywhere else, in this thing called the Christian race. I want so desperately, I was preaching at New England Baptist. Good to see Miss Alita and the girls here. I love these folks very, very much. I was preaching in the school a couple years ago. I told this story in Sunday school this morning. And I made this statement while I was preaching, and I was convicted and smitten in my heart. I said that to young people, I said, if people see anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, that would be a tragedy. And God said to me, John, what about you? If people see anything, does it matter if they see anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ in your life? Who do people see in my life? Who do people see in your life? Does your preacher ever say this? I'll close with this illustration. Does he ever say that? He doesn't preface it with that because he doesn't close with that illustration. I say it, and about 2% of the time, it becomes reality. So maybe you're the 2% tonight. But I'll tell you, and then I'm going to make another statement that sometimes people get nervous when a preacher says it. I'm going to tell you a true story. How many of you think, why would he say that now? How many of you are with me? Come on, be honest now. You're in church, all right? Were you not saying the truth for the last 30 minutes, okay? I'm going to tell you a story, and then we'll tie it all in, and then we'll be done. I ran in a race in 2012. It was a real race. I had my run shoes on. I had a bib on. Well, I'm sorry, I better explain the bib. Not what you're thinking. It's a number, okay? How many of you ever ran in something, okay? It's a number. I ran in a race in Hartford, Connecticut. And I'm going to tell you the truth. You can look it up online later. This is the truth. I came in 1,403rd place. True story. You say, why are you bragging on that? I'm not bragging. I'm in depression right now. Pray for me. I'm seeking counsel after the service, okay? But I came in 1,403rd place. True story. It was the first and only time I ever ran in the Hartford Marathon. Now, let me make myself feel better. Let me puff myself up for a second so I can get depressed again. It's a vicious cycle. It's this roller coaster. Now, there was about 10,000 people that ran in the marathon. That's, now, let me explain that. That's the full and the half and the 5K and the wheelchair and the other ones and everybody else and everybody in between. In October of 2012, I ran the first and only time I ever have a full marathon. 26.2 miles. I trained for about 10 months. You say, do you still run now? We're praying about that. And not the way I've been eating since I've been here. I'm going to run and barf in a corner. I've ate so much food. Good night. It's been off the charts. But I'll never forget. That was the first mile. First mile. Here's a dear older lady on the sidelines, and she's like, keep on running, Sonny. You're almost there. And I was like, what are you talking about, woman? Leave me alone, you know. I got a long ways to go and a short time to get there. But you know what the reality, I did it in a little over 4 hours. I don't know. I don't remember what that comes out to. It's about a little over nine or something. I don't remember what it is. But that doesn't matter. You know why I told you that story? Because when I ran that race, I wasn't in competition with anybody else. I didn't have many of my buddies or my friends there. I had friends that helped me train to prepare for it, but they didn't run in that race. But I wasn't in competition with anybody else. But you know, if there was anybody, it was a competition against myself to start and finish the race. But I learned more lessons in preparation for that race than I did while I was running that particular race. It only lasted 4 hours. I learned so many lessons about the Christian race. I learned the Christian race is not a 100-yard dash. It's a lifelong marathon. It's a lifetime. It's a journey. And I learned that there's a lot of things you have to learn along the way. And I've learned that it's easy to get distracted. And you forget sometimes what the purpose is. Why do you do what you do? It's not a trick question. It's not a loaded question. Why do we do what we do? We're doing this teen revival, and I'm just a friend coming alongside. We're doing this teen revival because we have a king. And his name is Jesus. And he's given us a message to get the gospel to every creature. The word of God is the most important possession you'll ever own. That's the message. Your walk with God is most important in your personal life. The will of God for your life is the most important direction you'll ever take. The wisdom of God is the most important need you have in this journey of the Christian race. Get the message. Find somebody else. Not just for the sake of having a friend and having somebody to talk to, but give them a message. Tell somebody this week that Jesus loves them. Tell somebody that Jesus left his throne. Tell somebody that Jesus laid down his life. Look for somebody to give the message to. And then be reminded, leaders in the church, that those that we serve and minister to, young and old, everybody in between, they need the message. Let's be sure that we're not just, and this happened, it's happened to me way too many times. And I don't feel like anybody's just going through the motions, but let's be careful that we're not just going through the motions, but that we really get the message. And then when we get up and we teach and we love and we share, it's not just words, it's from the heart and it's passion because it's truth. And that's what the message is, not my message, it's his message. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for this church. Thank you for what you're doing here. Lord, thank you for people that listen so well. And Lord, I pray that each of us will open our hearts to what the Holy Spirit has for us about the message tonight, the message of the King. Thank you for a beautiful picture. Lord, it's a really tragic story. There's a lot of carnage. There's a lot of just a lot of problems that take place in this story. But there was a King that loved his Son with all of his heart. And Lord, may we develop that love, the love of Christ for your people and for the lost who need to be saved. Would you stir us, Lord? Would you help us, Lord, not to be frenzied in running a race, but be passionate with truth. May it motivate us and propel us and help us, Lord, this week to minister to somebody else. Bless the teen revival in great Holy Spirit power. In Jesus' name. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I'm going to give it to Pastor in just a moment. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I wonder who'd say tonight, Brother Barnes, I can say tonight without any reservation, I am so thankful, and I'd be so, if I raise my hand, I'm raising my hand to brag on the goodness of God. Brother Barnes, I know there's a time in my life when I've asked Jesus Christ to be my personal Savior. I'm not bragging on myself, but I know I've been pardoned. Would you be able to raise your hand in testimony to that? Who'd be able to do that tonight? Praise the Lord. Many hands all over. I'm asking three questions. That's my first. My second question is this. Our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Who'd say this? Preacher, I don't really know about where I'm going to go when I die. I'm not really sure. I'll be honest. And I'm asking you if you'd let me pray for you. Now, my prayer for you cannot save you. But I would really be so thankful to pray for you that you get this matter settled before it's eternally too late. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, is there anybody in this room that would say, Preacher, I really don't know where I'm going. I'm not sure. Look, you can fake out your friends, you can fake out everybody on this planet, but you can't fake out God. Who would say tonight, I really don't know where I'm going. Preacher, please pray for me. Would you raise your hand in testimony of that? There's one. Anybody else? Preacher, I'm not sure where I'm going to go when I die. Please pray for me. Here's my third question. Who would say tonight, you know, I just want to thank God. I want to praise God. I got the message tonight. And I'm thankful I was reminded about the message. Who would raise hand in testimony to that and say, I needed that. That's going to help me. Praise the Lord. My hand is up. We're not doing this for a show of hands. Praise the Lord. You're a sweet church. You got a sensitive spirit to the Holy Spirit. Can I encourage you when the preacher comes and leads us in the invitation to maybe you don't need to sing the first verse or two. Maybe you need to come to an altar or make an altar out of your seat and just talk to God about these things and say, God, I really want to be more faithful to have the heart of the message, the heart of the King, and the message of the King, and I want to be more faithful in my delivery and my sharing and presenting and loving and investing and pouring into others. Why don't you do business with God about that if you need to during this invitation? Pastor.
With head bowed and eyes closed, the invitation time begins as the ladies